Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
It's the start of another week, and it's also the start of another study. We're turning to the Gospel of Luke and the chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, and we're considering verse 43. Luke chapter 23 and the verse 43. Verse 43 says, Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I believe that this is the second saying of the Lord Jesus on the cross. Now I believe that because we have the first saying of Christ in the verse 34. And the way the narrative is given here would suggest that almost immediately after what is said in verse 34, there takes place what happens in verse 43. You see how in the sequence of the verses, the little word and appears, and that's the joining word, isn't it? So I think we can say that what the Savior said in verse 34, when he prayed, that the people who had acted so wickedly that day and had crucified him may be pardoned, for they didn't know what they were doing. We see how his saying that is linked to what has followed. The verse 35 begins with the word and. The verse 36 begins with the word and. The verse 37 begins with the word and. And the verse 38 has the same word at the beginning in the verse 39 also. And the verse 39 begins the sequence of events in which we find our text for this, our second study. Let's read from verse 39 then. And one of the malefactors, one of the wrongdoers, one of the criminals which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, or what he is saying is, we deserve to be hung. Justice is being done by our crucifixion. That's what he's saying. We're guilty. For we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, having spoken to his friend on the cross, on the other side of the Lord Jesus, now he turns to the Savior. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Boys and girls, these are most wonderful words. Most wonderful words. I could spend a long time just looking at what it is the thief said to the Lord and what the Lord said to the thief. There is, in verse 42, volumes of theology. What that man said in just a few words explains to us, shows to us what had been wrought in his heart and how his mind had been opened up and he had been granted knowledge. Knowledge of who it was hanging there on the cross beside him. Look at what he said. Lord. Well, that first word tells us a lot. He had a high view of the one on the cross. He hadn't the view of his companion who mocked him, sneered at him, and joined with the others who were sneering at the claim that the Lord Jesus made of himself. For he had said, I am the Son of God. And the first thief, he had mocked and said, If you're the Son of God. I don't believe you are, but if you are. But that wasn't the mind and the heart of this repentant thief. He starts off his words to Christ, Lord. Boys and girls, you can never have too high a view of the Savior. No matter how high you place him, you still haven't placed him high enough. He is the most glorious person. So this man held a high view of the Lord Jesus, certainly in comparison to his companion. He says, Lord, remember me. I didn't intend to expound this verse, but let me just say that what he is asking here, and it's what you should ask of God, what he is asking here is that the Lord might have thoughts of him. Remember me. Let me come into your thoughts. Let me come into your thoughts. Think on me. Think of my needs. Think of how it is even now I am humbly, reverently addressing you. I have just defended you against the taunting of my companion. And I'm putting a difference between myself and him, even though we shared so much together in life and were criminals together and guilty together of much wickedness. But now I'm separating myself from him. Remember me. That's what we all need, boys and girls. We all need the Lord to have us in his thoughts, to think of us kindly. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You see, he saw beyond the cross. He saw beyond the crucified one who was beside him, bleeding, wounded, broken, bruised. He saw beyond that. He saw this person sitting on the throne, governing his kingdom. That's the view that was given to this thief, even as he hung there on the cross. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He knew what lay ahead. He understood the purpose of God, that the one who was there in the midst of great shame one day would rule the world. That's the knowledge he had come to. Do you know that the Lord Jesus is going to rule the world? The world that presently wants nothing to do with him. I was just reading reports over the weekend in some newspapers concerning religion. In America, churches, they say, are closing by the thousand. Now, they wouldn't all be good churches, but it's an indication of people in their millions turning their back on any thought of God. Here in our land, the same spirit is seen. People are turning away from what the Bible teaches concerning God. Our government has done it. Our royal family has done it. And people in general have done it. People believe and live by that which the Bible condemns utterly. But they don't care what God says. They've turned their back on God. They've rejected the very notion that there is a God. This thief, he says, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Thy kingdom. Do you know that there is a day coming when the kingdom of the Lord Jesus will be manifested for all men to see? Do you know that? Do you believe what this thief believed? Because, boys and girls, you can't read your Bible without seeing that that is something God has very definitely set forth. I read this morning, part of my Bible reading, Matthew chapter 24. And Matthew chapter 24 is the chapter on what the future holds. The chapter. You read Matthew chapter 24, and you should read it many times. There you will see very definitely the Savior telling his disciples how this age will end. How it will end. And what it is we should believe concerning the last days. And then, in Matthew chapter 24, it speaks of his coming to rule and to reign. The Lord Jesus is going to rule this world. Every day there's items in the news. This footballer has been bought by one club for an enormous amount of money. What's he good at? Chiefly acting the rascal. But he also can kick a ball. Isn't that a wonderful achievement? The world is agog with wonder and praise that this man who can kick a ball, or some pop singer has done something, or said something, or fallen ill, or got better. That's news. But the news I'm looking for is the news of Christ's return. That's the event I'm waiting on. And it's the event that was here in the mind of the repentant thief. He was hanging on the cross in agony. But what was he thinking about? Christ coming in his glory, and he wanted to be part of his kingdom. Remember me, just remember me. That's the wonderful thing. Every day there's reports of the new king, King Charles III, out visiting and shaking hands and waving and smiling at everybody. And there's some people, you know, probably there's many people, whose whole life ambition is to meet the king, or meet the queen, as it was before the ascension of Charles III. And wherever the monarch appeared, they were there. They travelled hundreds of miles at times to be there, and there early to get right to the railings so that they would see up close the member of the royal family they had come to visit. But I'll guarantee that when the queen or the king or the prince or the princess went past, they didn't remember them from the last time that they had gathered to see them. They didn't remember them. How could they remember one face out of the tens of thousands they see every year? But the Lord remembered each one of his own. And in actual fact, boys and girls, and here is something that we struggle to really understand. You, if you love him, if you're saved, you are never out of the thoughts of God. He's thinking of you now. He was thinking of you while you were fast asleep last night. He'll be thinking of you throughout this day, throughout the night, throughout tomorrow, the next day, the next day. He'll always, always, always be thinking of you. And the thief says, I want to be among your memories, Lord. I want you to think of me. Now the response of the Saviour is what we're really studying. I hope certainly that we have profited from just giving a little thought to what is said in verse 42. But as I said, verse 43 contains the words of the second saying of the Lord Jesus. Jesus said unto him, Verily, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now in the verse 34 that we looked at earlier, the first of the sayings of Christ, you have the Saviour graciously praying for sinners. Father, forgive them. And here we have the Saviour wonderfully, mercifully answering the prayer of a sinner. And more than just answering the prayer, the Saviour is showing his power to save. His power to save. Because this statement in verse 43 is a very definite statement. Look at what he says. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That's a very positive statement. No doubts about it. And I have often said, preaching on this verse in the past, I've often said that that man died with utter confidence that he was on his way to heaven. He died absolutely sure that it was well with his soul. He had the word of the Lord Jesus. The Saviour didn't say, well, perhaps you'll be with me. Or maybe you will be with me. Or there's a chance you'll be with me. He didn't say that. He said, today shalt thou be. So that man, hanging there in agonies, could rest upon these words of the Lord Jesus and doubtless rejoice. He died happy, even though he died a most terrible death, but he died happy because of the wonderful words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to at least get one point over to you this morning before we come to a close. As I said, the Saviour is showing his power to save here. He spoke a word of salvation. Isaiah the prophet, 700 years before the Lord Jesus was crucified, 700 years before, had spoken of his crucifixion. And particularly, he spoke about this incident in the whole story of the Saviour's crucifixion. in Isaiah chapter 53, for that's the chapter where you find the prophet mentioning the crucifixion. And in the chapter 53, and in the verses 8 and 9, we read these words. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? That is, who can tell really where he came from or who he was? Because they were all, that is, the people generally who rejected the Savior, they all were saying, who is he? Where did this man get this learning? Is he not of the family of Joseph? They just had no idea of who the Savior really was. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people. Was he stricken? That's why the Savior was on the cross. He was dying for sin, the sin of his people. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Who was that? Who gave the Lord Jesus his grave? It was a rich man. You can go to Israel and visit the garden tomb where I believe the Lord Jesus was buried, and it was the tomb of a rich man. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Then down to verse 12, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors on the cross. He died between two thieves. He was numbered with sinners, with criminals. As I say, that was some 700 years before the Lord Jesus was crucified. Oh, what information was given to the Old Testament saints concerning the Messiah, which makes those who didn't know him, who didn't recognize him, all the more sinful and wicked, because they had been given plenty of information concerning the Messiah, like that which I have just read to you. He was numbered with the transgressors. That's what men thought of the Lord Jesus. He's just a criminal. Therefore, we'll deal with him as such. He's still thought of like that today. The conversion of the repentant thief is recorded for us, for God wants you to know that even on the very doorstep of death, he can save. God wants you to know that. That's why the record of this man's conversion is given us. This man is dying. He will be dead within hours of this account. He has lived a life of wickedness, and he's dying as a result of that wickedness. But he's granted repentance just before he dies. And instead of ending in hell, toward which he had been travelling all his days, almost at the last minute, God turned him and took him to heaven. And it's recorded in order that we might understand that late and all as it was in this man's life, yet by God's grace and mercy he found salvation. God wants you to know that. God wants you to know that. Those near to death can still be saved. But this is the only time you read of such a conversion. Now, I would say that undoubtedly others on their deathbed were saved. But this is the only time God records such an incident. Why? In order to remind you that such things are very rare. Those who live all their days in sin, there's only a small, tiny little number of such are converted. That's why there is only one man we read of in the Bible who was converted on the very doorstep of hell, and God took him to heaven. Only one man. Now, as I said, I'm sure there were many others, but God only recorded one, just to highlight, to underline the fact, it's a rare thing for such to happen. Boys and girls, do you know the best time to get saved? Now. That's the best time. And I say that because God says, if today we hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now is the day of salvation. We don't know what lies within the next hour. Out there, at this very moment, there's someone at work, there's someone driving, There's someone at home and they're hoovering the carpet. There's someone going about their daily activities, and within the next hour, they will be in eternity. They don't know it. They're not thinking about it, but it'll happen. It'll happen. You read the newspapers tomorrow and you will read of people who have died, and there will be many who have died that you won't be able to read about. None of them thought they would die, but it happens. That's why God says, now is the accepted time. That's why I say, if you're not saved, now's the best time to get saved. Oh, you heed the warning, please. Heed the warning. May the Lord bless His word to your hearts today. Let's bow in prayer. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, I just ask Thee, Lord, in Your mercy, to take what has been said in weakness, and apply it with power to the hearts of the boys and girls here, aye, to all of us, Lord. Oh, that we might hold high views of the Lord Jesus, and have given to us, as was the case with the repentant thief, words of assurance that we're on our way to heaven. Bless the school today. We thank You for Your mercy in recent time. Commit it afresh to Thee, O God. Meet its every need, and that of teachers, pupils, and parents, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.